Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, let's go right to him while we're sitting here talking a little college football. David Glenn from accsports.com joins us.
Oh, just call him the king of the ACC.
Oh, no, he knows he was sitting behind everything us at the about ACC meetings, him. Yeah. David, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Joe and Zach. Always fun to be with y'all.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on. So are you on the Miami Hurricane bandwagon pretty good this year?
Yes, I am. You know, I've been watching Mark Richt as a recruiter through his Georgia Bulldogs days and now through year two here with the Hurricanes. And we saw those freshman linebackers last year. I think we're going to see more talent all over the field this year. And the byproduct there is that the Coastal Division is a very manageable one. It's not like the Hurricanes have to leapfrog past, you know, Florida State and Clemson and Louisville. The Coastal is much more manageable, and that makes, I think, for a great opportunity for the Hurricanes to finally get to that first ACC football championship game.
David, I know you were up there and had a chance to talk to Mark Richt and stuff. Is too much being made of this new quarterback, this true freshman quarterback, Perry, or do you think he's going to be the starter and he'll be okay? What do you think happens there?
I'd be shocked if Nikosi Perry is not a great college football player. The magic question, of course, is how quickly.
Right.
And I've covered this league long enough to know that when you have the first redshirt year and then you're plugged in as a redshirt freshman, heck, Jameis Winston was that good right away at Florida State under those circumstances. I've also seen way back when Phillip Rivers was at NC State. He was a son of a high school coach. He went through spring practice and then was asked to be a star as a true freshman. But he had the spring practice, and, of course, he goes on to have some of the best numbers in the history of the ACC. The challenge for Nikosi is he's basically arriving this month on a college campus. He did not have spring practice. That adds another layer of complication. So who knows? Maybe it'll take a few games. Maybe it'll take a couple months. But that guy can flat-out play. And he's not exactly like Lamar Jackson of Louisville, the guy who won the Heisman Trophy last year, but he has some of the same electrifying qualities. I think it's just a matter of when it happens for the Hurricanes.
David, the other kind of thing I heard about all you know those 2 days that we were up there in Charlotte, if it's not the Canes in the Coastal, people said don't just be weary of the sleeper Georgia Tech team in years like this. Normally, when there's not someone that's the all-out favorite, Georgia Tech slips on people, and don't ever forget about North Carolina because they have a pretty good thing going there. Are those the other two teams you got to worry about in the Coastal?
I would switch it up and say the two Techs, Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. Carolina lost so much talent on offense, and they lost their defensive coordinator, Gene Chizik, who basically was the architect of a turnaround on that side of the ball. He decided to step away from football for family reasons. I do like what you're saying about Georgia Tech because you're right. When Paul Johnson is not expected to be at the top of that division, he has an unbelievable track record with that triple option of just driving people crazy and grabbing hold of the division when maybe nobody else is all that overwhelming. I just wouldn't forget Virginia Tech. They were in the ACC title game last year representing the Coastal Division. If they're a little bit like Miami in the sense that if they figure out the quarterback position, their guy Gerard Evans also left early for the NFL, like Brad Kaya, except Evans went undrafted, which left a lot of those Hokies fans scratching their heads. But Hokies are going to be good on defense, and they have weapons on offense. They just need to find the trigger man, and frankly, guys, that's the theme of the whole division. Besides Duke, nobody's really sure in the Coastal who their quarterback is going to be, and that's just a weird thing to say, 6 out of 7 teams here in the middle of July.
Boy, that is crazy. Hey, I want to ask you about the Atlantic Division in the ACC. Is there a stronger conference anywhere or division stronger than FSU, Clemson, and Louisville to start with?
I'd say no right now. It's taken a long time for the ACC to learn to achieve that kind of reputation in football. but I watched it happen. I mean, the last 4 years, look at it this way. Florida State and Clemson have two of the last four national championships from that division.
Right.
Jameis Winston and Lamar Jackson have two of the last four Heisman trophies from that division. And Jimbo and Dabo, especially with the Seminoles and the Tigers, you'd have to say they're two of the top half a dozen programs in the entire nation right now. So when Louisville is your number three in a division, and NC State is expected to have its best team in 5 years under Dave Doran, so maybe the Wolfpack is really good. Not Clemson or Florida State good, but best by Wolfpack standards recently. Now you're getting to a really deep division, and I think, yes, usually we're talking about the SEC or somebody else has the best conference or having the best division. I think last year the ACC as a league was the best in football, and the ACC's Atlantic was the best in college football.
All right, so another thing, because you know the whole the ACC overlapping with the SEC, and we heard some media guys the whole time saying it was done on purpose. I thought it was really funny. I think the SEC and the ACC, this is a nice little, it's a healthy rivalry in between the two at this point. But every time I asked one of the coaches or one of the players, you think that you guys have caught up to the SEC? No, we're better than the ACC. We're better than the SEC. Is that something that's going to go on all year long until the end? And especially with the fact, like you just said, two of the last four Heisman, a couple national championships, and they're up there playing Alabama and the SEC every year. Is this just going to be an underlining thing all season long, a competition between these two conferences? And are we forgetting about possibly the other conferences in the country, and these are the only two we're going to talk about?
Yeah, well, I think you're onto something, and you're right. Because of the geographic overlap, it's going to be even more pronounced. Because they're both partners with ESPN and ABC, it's going to be even more pronounced. The bottom line is, if you look over the longer haul, the SEC is still the king of college football. I mean, we can't forget all those national championships. But if you just look at last year, ACC wins it all. ACC wins the Heisman. ACC had 11 out of its 14 teams finish with winning records. ACC had 9 postseason victories. That tied the most for any conference ever in college football. And the ACC's head-to-head record against the SEC, which is mostly ugly in the 30 years that I've been covering this stuff, last year was dominating in favor of the ACC. I think it was 10-4 ACC over SEC. So for a year, the ACC deserves the championship belt. For the Lifetime Achievement Award, that still goes to the SEC. And, yes, it's going to remain a topic of conversation because the ACC is tired of being the redheaded stepchild. And the ACC wants to string more than one or a few seasons together where it's at least as good as the SEC or maybe in 1 year better than the SEC.
Yeah. No, you're a David, and you know the baseball and the basketball, if you look at that and how good the ACC's been. But, boy, the football just looks like it's getting better and better, and we're seeing so many of those guys doing a lot of recruiting down here in South Florida now. So made it easier for Zach last week to get a lot more guests up there for sure.
The only person I didn't have on the show was David Glenn. That was it. I was sitting right behind him the whole time.
Yeah, but I'm glad you got David so I could so we could talk today.
I told him that.
Like
I said,
this.
I go, you know, Joe would rather talk to you himself, so you want to just come on Monday. That would be great.
So
hey, you're bumping me for coaches of the year and Heisman Trophy winners. Trust me, I get it.
Hey, David, I want to ask you about the Canes defense. It looks like on paper, off of last year, what they did with all those young guys, and then watching some of the guys in year two and three get a lot better with Manny Diaz, that this defense could be really, really good. How do you rank it in the ACC as far as defenses go?
I think it's right up there with Florida State and Clemson, which is exactly where you want to be. I mean, those two have become pipelines. Jimbo and Dabo just sign prep All-Americans on the front end and send them in the NFL draft, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years later. And I think the Hurricanes at times have been good on defense over the last decade plus in the ACC. But this has a chance to be their best. Everybody saw those 3 freshman linebackers last year. They're the real deal. They're back. And I think up front, they're better than they were last year. And some people believe guys like Norton and McIntosh at tackle or Trent Harris and Chad Thomas on the outside, some of those guys might have, you know, and the younger guys have NFL decisions to make at the end of the season. That's always a mixed blessing because you wanted to say, but it's always a good sign because they're that talented. And if you're that talented on the front seven, you know, every coach at every level will tell you that your job is a whole lot easier when you're strong in the trenches, and that makes everybody else's job less complicated. So I think when you look at the schedule, the returning players on defense, the talent on offense, and Mark Richt being in year two instead of year one, I really think we're bound. You guys might remember in 2005 when Miami joined the ACC, the talk was, hey, we're going to see Florida State and Miami in the ACC title game every year. That, back then, it's hard to think of it now that way, but that was the conversation. And, you know, five-time national champion and all that. 2017 might be the first time it actually comes to fruition because the Seminoles are that good, and I think the Hurricanes are at least the best of the lesser coastal division.
I'm only guessing you had Shaq Quarterman at your booth to interview him, and the way I felt the entire time he was there is that I felt like the quarterback at practice that didn't have the red jersey on, and I felt like at any given second Shaq was going to just tackle me, and I was afraid to ask any questions that weren't positive because he was in game mode at media day, and a lot of the other guys were joking around, funny. Lamar Jackson, funny guy, was telling jokes. Yep. Shaq Quarterman, I thought, honestly, was going to tackle me like a quarterback.
It's funny, some of my interns are in that 18 to 20-year-old range, and we were joking as guys would leave the table, you know, this guy had bad body language, or this guy was a lot of fun, and this guy was exciting. Two of the biggest takeaways were when Dabo Swinney of Clemson left our table, we all looked at each other and said, man, I want to grab his helmet and shoulder pads and play for that guy. And when Shaq left the table, we were all like, we were deciding who was jumping behind whom. In case Shaq did hit somebody, yeah. You know, and the old man was being thrown up as a sacrificial lamb. He was an engaging guy, but man, he can be intimidating. And you're right. You know, he's in game mode about 6 weeks or so before their actual games.
David, always good talking to you, man. That was a good teaser. A little nice ACC teaser for us today. So thank you very much.
Always fun, guys. Joe and Zach, great to be with you as always.
Thank you. David Glenn, accsports.com, joining us.
Literally the king of the ACC. Like, he has a table there right in the middle of Radio Row up there. I know you saw him last year when you were there for that. And not one guy that comes in there, whether it's a media guy or the player or the coach, that doesn't sit at his table. Other guys have to kind of wait on guys. David gets them first.
Let's get back to the first, second, and third questions asked about the Miami Hurricanes. Who you think the starting quarterback's going to be for game one?
I think it's Perry. I think they do the same thing that happened a couple years back when they threw the 17-and-a-half-year-old freshman from California, Brad Kaye, out there for that, Louisville game on opening night of the season. The difference is with Perry, he doesn't have to have that kind of huge game until game three, except game three is the entire season right there because the Florida State game is going to really decide where your team is, if you're a top-tier team or not. And the only scary part for me is that, let's just say game one of the season, which is the biggest game of the season, Florida State and Alabama. But if Florida State, Alabama, if Alabama does beat Florida State, then Florida State has some cupcake in game two. You think Florida State wants to start their season 1-2? Because that'll knock you right out of just about everything if you start your season off 1-2. You almost have to root for Florida State right now to beat Alabama, be number one in the country when you play them third game overall. But Perry's first kind of big start, if he is the starter in Doak, I think at night in Tallahassee, I mean, that is, you want to start your kind of career off, that's one way to do it. And it'll be the biggest game of the season for the Hurricanes. But I do think Perry is going to end up being the guy. Out of all the quarterbacks, we hear their names, there's more intrigue with him. There's possibly more upside with him, even if you've had guys here like Rozier, who's been on this team for a couple years. I just think that Perry is going to start the season, have two kind of cupcake games in the beginning. One on the road, Arkansas State's on the road. That's going
to
be a
tough
game.
You know what the jump's like, right, from those first two games to going up to Florida State?
It's playing two scrimmages against your team at half speed to Florida State.
Experience in that game.
No.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one, especially when Florida State opens their season with the potential national championship game, Florida State and Alabama. It's amazing how the season starts for the Canes and for Florida State.
All right, man, we got to go to a break here. We'll be checking in on the Plumbers 911.com text line at 56022. We've got a lot of text messages coming in today. We're in pretty good shape.
We do. I think we're going to be able to go over plenty of them in the...
We didn't hit very many early this morning, so we'll get back.
No, we'll get into all of them. I'll
get some of those.
Yep. Radio.com. Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM and WQAM.com.
And we are back here in the 9 o'clock hour. We're just a few minutes away from checking in on some text messages have been flying in here all morning long on the plumbers911.com text line of 56022. You're laughing already. What do you got?
Oh, I just
coming
love the
in?
Text. I'm in an argument with one of the texters right now.
What does people want to argue about?
No, a little bit of argument over the, because someone was upset the fact that I brought up the fact that the FSU game could be their, you know, the season for the Canes. I didn't mean like, hey, if they lose, they're not going to do anything that season.
No. That's
the game of the season. And I understand what the texter said, so I wrote back to him. I didn't mean it like that if it came out like that. I just said that you're talking about possibly a freshman quarterback game three of the season going into Doak Gamble Stadium. That's going to mean a lot to this team. And you kind of want to get, you know, you want to try to win that game. I don't know if they can win that game or not. Florida State's really good. We're talking top three in the country good. But the texter wrote, and Zach's overthinking it. Canes are not winning the national championship this year. So the FSU game is not, quote, their season. All they have to do is win the Coastal and go from there. And I actually do fully agree with that.
Right.
If they win the Coastal and get to that ACC championship game, a successful season for this team.
You got to win the Coastal Division. You got to take little steps here. They've never won the Coastal Division. They got to win the Coastal Division, playing that ACC championship game before you decide you're going to put them on one of those playoff games that's coming up here.
Sure.
That, you know, you've got to do it. But, hey, man, I'm like everybody else. I feel a lot better about what Mark Richt's doing with Manny Diaz as his coordinator. The guys, the recruiting class of what we've seen so far, Zach. I mean, you should, if you're a Canes fan and you watch this stuff up closely, and listen, if you're a hardcore Miami Hurricane football fan, you follow recruiting.
Yeah,
they go hand in hand.
Of course.
And you've seen how good the class is that he has. Now, he might lose a couple.
It's going to happen. How many times have all the verbal commitments come through?
He'll probably get a couple, but either way, that class is screaming really good on it for guys that they have, and they've got a couple guys that are, like, really committed to this thing. So yeah, I'm fired up and I want to see. I'm like everybody else. I want to get out there early to practice and watch Perry and everybody else. I want to see if he's close to being ready, because the point was just brought up by David Glenn. He didn't go through spring football. He didn't graduate early, which is a big deal now. And it was done by the last quarterback who just left. Did the same thing out of California. Went through graduation high school and then came out late in the summer. Like Nikosi Perry, and so we'll find out how he does, but it's a little different game than playing that high school schedule that he just played.
That's right. I mean, the first two games will be a good test for him to just kind of wet his feet, but then all of a sudden you dive right into the deep end in game three in Tallahassee, so that's an interesting one. All right, on the plumbers911.com text line 56022, here's another one. Joe, no interest in watching McGregor Mayweather at all. I'd rather watch Lyle Alzado fight Ali again. It'd be a better fight, and they're both passed away.
I was aware of the second part. They both passed away. Thank you, by the way, very much.
Thanks for that fact there.
I see that. I don't have a problem if somebody says they don't care about it. But
yeah, I think that there's.
But you're talking
a 50-50
about
4 split.
Million pay-per-views if that happens. And by the way, even if it comes short and it's a 3 million pay-per-view, Zach, that's still one of the biggest of all time.
Agreed. Yes.
I always say this, and I'm going old school on everybody, so don't get mad. How much money would you have paid today to see Ali and Frazier in their prime fight?
Oh, this would be a minimum a $99 fight. Pay-per-view at minimum, I think maybe a 129 at this point.
Can you imagine the pay-per-views Muhammad Ali promoting this fight?
No,
and getting all over Joe Frazier the way he used to do.
No,
the names he called him.
Yeah, it would have been really interesting. Well, think about also
nobody could promote. He's as good as those trash talking as those two are. Muhammad Ali.
Think about all the good
class
fights
of his own
in the what was it like the 80s when you had Hagler and Hearns and Sugar Ray, you know, like. Those just fights. Like, you knew it was going to be a good fight.
Those were good. No, no.
You're talking about those are Alexis 99 Arguello, to 120. Yeah.
Roberto.
Roberto Duran and Hagler and Sugar Ray. Like, they were good fights.
We went through Hagler, Hearns. You went through some good times of great fighters where somebody was getting knocked out.
Yeah. And you knew it was going to happen, but it was going to be a good fight to the end. So
a lot of good guys. But even Foreman in there. How much would today, if you could have, instead of going over to some other country, instead having that fight in Vegas?
Oh, man.
Watching Foreman and Ali?
Yeah, it would be interesting. Very interesting. A lot of money be generated for those fights. Heavyweight fights? That's the one thing we're missing right now. The big heavyweight matchup that'll sell out. The old Tyson in Vegas fights.
Never be as sexy as the old heavyweight.
No.
Never happen again.
Here's one for your hashtag the poop problem you're having in the neighborhood.
There's no poop problem. I took care of it.
Well, picking up your dog poop is a Broward County law, by the way. Chapter 4 of the Broward County Code, Section 4/8.
Is that true?
Ask your homeowners association.
I didn't know
may
that.
Also have a bylaw governing the poop law, too, in your neighborhood. Someone in the
but
HOA.
Who covers that? I always love that when somebody says.
I wouldn't be the one covering poop.
No. But like somebody, can you imagine making that call? It's kind of a bitch move to call. Like, who would you call? Your city or county and go, we have somebody, their dogs keep dumping on my yard, and like they're going, really? You're calling us about that? I mean, it seems like a small thing. That's why I just took it. I took a shovel. I scooped it out of my yard, and I put it on the doorstep of the people in the back of the community that
should
I live in.
You call the police.
Oh,
someone's breaking a law. You call it 911.
Can I tell you something?
See something, say something.
Anybody that calls the police for
smell
a dog
something.
Pooping on a yard has got to get a life. I just want to say that on behalf of anybody
out
there.
I'm glad you didn't.
That's a little weak. With everything going on to call the police about.
Hollywood would have done that.
You call the police if somebody poops on your yard, you're like, the dog pooped again. Please come out here. I stepped in it like 3 times this week. I got crap all over my house, man.
The evidence is on my foot. The bottom
I
of
just,
my feet.
My wife, who, by the way, doesn't want to fight with anybody. My wife
not.
Wants there to be love and peace in the world with everybody, every family member, which is impossible, and everybody else. And she was just, let's just all get along. Just fake it. Just and so I just said, okay. So as soon as she went in, took the shovel out of the backyard, scooped it, walked down around the corner, dumped it in. Dropped it off. These are your dogs.
Your vigilante justice, like, kind of escalates the issue, doesn't it?
Well, nobody knows who did it.
I think they'll probably find out. Do they poop on a lot of lawns or just yours?
You just
see them poop
figured
on yours.
Since I see the same big poops dried up in the corner there that it's probably the same two oversized dogs.
Yeah. If they have man poops, you know it's them.
Why do dogs seem to poop in the same, like, they're going
well,
they stop
they,
down a
they
corner
get their
and go,
little...
ah, Rose's home! Let's dump here, Freddie.
The problem is they'll poop there once, and by the smell, they'll know that they think they're supposed to poop there each time. It's like when you train a dog, and you know, to go
is
outside.
Is this true, man, or are you just laying?
No, I'm being serious. That's why when a
are
dog
you
goes outside,
BS on
no,
me, bro, or is this true?
When the dogs go outside and they're sniffing around, they're trying to look for the last place that like pee or poop was, like whether it was theirs or someone else's. That's where they think they should go. If they're pooping in the same place in your yard basically every day, they're going to think that's where the bathroom is. Their bathroom is your front yard.
This is definitely true. You're looking at him like he's nuts.
Yeah, I'm being serious.
Why do you think
I got two dogs.
And look for where to
Did
go.
Somebody really send you like it's a violation? Like
someone texted that in. They even sent me the statutes. Chapter 4 of the Broward County Code, Section 4-8. And also check your homeowners association.
Yeah,
they might have bylaws.
Who's going to enforce that? Like,
I don't know. You don't,
can
have
you
poop,
imagine,
you don't have poop patrol?
Can you imagine how pissed Davy police would be if they got a call?
I'm not calling the Davy police for that.
Can you imagine two cop cars going, there it is. There's the two dumps right there. Which dog is it?
You should call Channing. He's the vigilante in Davy. And let him know what's going on. He'll take care of it. Channing usually takes care of all the stuff in Davy for us. Another text coming in. Joe, I don't understand why FSU is ranked so high. They lost 70% of their offense in Dalvin Cook and Travis Rudolph. So where are their offense going to come from? I'll tell you what. They're loaded, by the way. I know they lost Dalvin Cook and Travis Rudolph. They have, and those are huge pieces of their team last year. They
Travis
have so
is,
many.
Hold on a sec. Travis, okay.
Well, I mean, I'm saying Dalvin Cook more than Travis, but I
Dalvin
understand
Cook's
that was their
the
number
horse.
One kind of wide receiver.
I'm jacked up for Minnesota. Minnesota got
yeah.
Dalvin's got him in the there. Second round.
Yeah, that was a good pick.
Right, Dalvin, he didn't go in the first round, right? Didn't he win early second? Or
No, he was a second round pick, I believe. Yeah. Pretty good pickup.
I don't want to go as far as to say he could be rookie of the year, but I think he's going to be a monster.
Yeah. Young kid coming in.
He had all these bad raps on him.
Yeah, that was a problem. The red off the field red flags, they said.
No, but he didn't do it like he grew up in the inner city, was raised by he was going to be around some guys that got in some trouble.
You get that red flag, man.
So what's that like I didn't get that.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind having a couple red flag guys that drop. I wouldn't mind having Dalvin Cook on my team for a second round pick.
Got a hell of a second round pick there.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I would definitely do that.
We got to go to one more break. I want you to keep this going.
All right, we'll have more texts after this on the plumbers911.com text line. Plenty of coming in 56022.
Welcome back here for our last segment here in the 9 o'clock hour before the Big O show takes over. What do you got coming in here on the plumbers911.com text line of 56022?
All right, another one that just came in. I know you guys saw Deion Waiters this weekend recruiting Dwayne Wade. What are your thoughts? I mean, Dwayne Wade still plays for the Chicago Bulls and is under contract.
Those are my thoughts.
Okay. There is a exemption, I think it is, like a $4 million exemption the Heat are holding right now for another veteran or whatnot. Just the rumor going around that they're saving that for Dwayne Wade. I don't know if that's possible or not. Waiting for a buyout. That buyout could maybe happen in the middle of the season or maybe not.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. In just your gut. Your gut. We don't know. So I'm just asking your gut feeling. This is just an opinion.
Straight opinion.
If they buy him out, say, to start the second half of the season, and they've just had it, and the amount's not that much. It's now all of a sudden down to the last $8 or $9 or $10 million, not a lot for a buyout. And he's got offer from Cleveland to Miami. Where's he go?
Not even a question in my mind. He goes and plays for the Cavaliers.
I think the same thing. Dwayne says, come play. You got your minutes. You don't have to be the man, but you be a nice piece. You want to get another championship. I did it for you. Come do it for me.
I do think at that point he would go play with the Cavs, as much as that would hurt to say.
Could you see him saying no and coming back here to Miami? I don't see it.
I don't think so. I just don't.
It's all, you know, it's not going to happen right now, so that's what I think.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Doesn't affect anything he's done here.
No.
Had his great career here.
Yeah.
He's got his championships here.
It would hurt, though, playing for the Cavs.
He's a leading scorer. He's got everything.
It would hurt me if he went to the Cavs, Joe.
It would hurt a little bit, but all be forgotten in time.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be the first superstar to do it at the end of a career.
No.
And he could pick up a fourth ring. They all count. Anyway, what else you got?
But him going there would hurt me.
Yeah, I agree.
Joe, the entire Coastal Division has new quarterbacks, top to bottom.
That's what Glenn said earlier.
So with saying that, the defense is going to be the most important, and the Canes have the best defense in the Coastal. I agree with you.
No, that's fine. Yeah. That's good.
Joe, everybody's picking FSU. Did they forget the ass-whooping Louisville put on them last year?
Oh, boy, that was a bad one.
Yeah, it was.
Holy smokes. The moves that he put on, ran. Oh, he had some unbelievable runs. He made that Florida State defense look like a plow horse defense, and that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. No, it's
I did forget. I forgot about it.
Until he just brought it up, so did I. Totally. Here we go, more on the McGregor stuff. I don't want to watch it for free, let alone pay. A fool and his money are soon parted. I know, parted with a lot of mine, but not for boxing. I will not buy or watch the fight. There you go.
You think they get the UFC money that night, don't they?
Yeah, I think they're going
to. They're counting on that.
Oh, no, they're diving into both ends of the pool. You know, that's what they're doing here. They got the number one MMA guy and the number one boxing guy right now. They're genius to do it. It's when wrestling brings Trump in. It's when wrestling brought Floyd Mayweather in. You're trying to get a little bit different crowd in there. The difference is the main event is the top MMA guy versus the top boxing guy, but in a boxing kind of situation. You're going to get
boxing.
MMA. Yeah.
There's no like partial MMA in this. It is, and by the way, every former boxer has said the same thing. Floyd Mayweather will win every round and destroy this guy.
He should. He put him in his side of the, you know, the fence.
They both win. By the way, kind of lost in everything outside of maybe a little humility and everything else. They both win. Pacquiao, who was an embarrassment when he fought Mayweather. They both win.
Yep.
Checks they'd never seen before.
Oh, we're talking nine figures, $150 million, $200 million, whatever it is. And then
is he wearing? He looks like a little breakdancer or something, a little 12-year-old breakdancer. What the f***? He's 40. You're 40 years of age. Dress your f***ing age. Carrying a school bag on stage. What are you doing with a school bag on stage? You can't even read.
I mean, I'm telling you.
He even hit him. He hits him with emo. Why do you even carry now? You can't even read.
I'm telling you, after day one, and Danny Q was back here with me when you guys were out of town, the day one of the stuff, he brings out that bag. He tells everyone he's got $100,000 sitting in that bag. He's a $100 million guy. He's going to be up to a $1 billion guy soon.
He is.
And then Connor just screams out, pay your taxes. Pay the tax man. I died laughing because that hits home, I'm sure, for Floyd a little bit, that he owes it, he owes the IRS $22-23 million.
It's no secret.
No.
How the guy that makes that much money always owe the government so much damn money?
Yeah. It's not like you forget to pay it. I mean.
And he's like, look it, I'm getting this big fat check, and I'll make sure you get all your
just
money.
Just wait 2 months. I'll give you the full thing. You don't have to worry about it. Take it right off the top. We're good to go. I don't have to ever see it. Just take whatever you want from it, and we're good. Must be nice.
Floyd Mayweather is expected to go over $1 billion in earnings. By the way, with no advertisement.
No.
It is strictly what he has done.
In the ring.
In pay-per-views.
Yes. His boxing career only.
His pay-per-views. So for everybody that hates him, oh, I hate Floyd. Well, you hated him so much you bought his pay-per-view.
He paid $99 for it.
He made $1 billion. Mm. I don't know what he has left. He probably got $300 million in toys. They actually said a lot of his money's invested. For everybody thinks he's just going around spending every dime he has. He might be smarter than all of us. What else you have there, man? We got a couple minutes left.
It's not the owners that don't want Kaepernick, Joe. It's a blowback from the fans that they might lose the revenue. That's what we talked about earlier.
That is some. Yeah. That is partially tied in.
Yeah, I would think so at that point. I mean, it's got to be a little bit of the situation there, you know, because we saw the Mara family come out and say something that it's.
I just think that Colin Kaepernick could take care of a lot of this stuff if he really wanted to play by just coming out and saying something. Like,
yeah.
I really want to play football. I love football.
It would get him back in the game, I think.
Instead of looking like all of a sudden, you know, he might want to do something else. Anyway.
If the Jorge Mas deal doesn't come through, you should start a campaign to recruit Miami Palmetto High School graduate Jeff Bezos. He's the second richest person in the world just behind Bill Gates. In first place, just ahead of Warren Buffett to buy the Marlins.
Okay. Really?
I'll take it.
Well, let me just say this.
I'll take anyone right now who's got 1.1. Hollywood, you got 1.1?
We have a lot of money. We have a lot of money, a lot of real wealthy families and people, very successful people in South Florida, in the Miami area. And it'd be nice. I hope the Moss family gets it done. They're obviously look like they're working at it for the All-Star break. And I hope they get it, and I hope I get a chance to talk to the Moss family today. Tell him about this idiot David Sampson. Stay away from him.
You're going to do the campaign for him not to keep him, correct?
So that would be what I do. You got any more?
Yeah, I'm refreshing the page. They're coming in quick. And here we go. Joe, stop whining and complaining about your free trip and free vacation once every few years to London. He's talking about the New Orleans game.
I just don't like
from
giving
your friend
up
Rick and Davey, by the way.
No, I don't mind giving up. I don't like giving up a home game.
Yeah. No, me too. Who wants to give up a home game?
No, no, I hope it's not Megan. I'm bitching. I don't mind going over there. It's a great trip, by the way. Just get wine and dine for 3 days. I mean, if we're doing that. But I don't like giving up a home game. I want to go over there. Let's do it as a – let somebody else have a home game. Give up their home game.
Here's this. Hey, Joe, I had a neighbor throw dog poop on my porch 2 years ago. Their neighbor told him it was my wife and dog that did it on the lawn that morning. However, my wife was at work. I was going to feed him the dog poop one piece at a time. However, next time I will just call the police. That was Mike and Plantation. According to the law from Hollywood, you should call the police when something like that happens.
First of all,
I didn't say you should relax, okay?
It's a weak call if somebody's calling the police off dog poop on the yard.
Yeah. You asked who do you call?
Of all the things that the police get called for, I bet a police officer would call right now and say, please don't call me. Don't call 911 and have somebody come out here and friggin' we have to run out with two police cars to go, okay, where's the poop? Do you know who did it? I mean, it's a large.
Where's the evidence?
It's a large poop. What dogs it belong to? Look at the bottom of my shoe, Jerky.
How about this one? This one, I guess, is going to Hollywood from the headlines. As we shook our heads about what sounded like a rigged kickoff contest, my 14-year-old pointed out that free groceries for a year is probably better than going to the Canadian Super Bowl. That's correct. You want to give me an unlimited Publix gift for the year? I'll be very happy with
Safeway's
that.
Safeway's kind of like Publix. Safeway or upper scale markets out in. In case you wanted to know, growing up in a Safeway neighborhood. Hey, we're out of here, man. You know who's coming up next?
The big ponytail, right? Or does he still have the ponytail?
No, he didn't do ponytail today. He's got his hair.
So it's just the big O today.
Just the big
O. I like when he's got the ponytail on. I can give him the new nickname.
All right, man. Well, listen, it was great.
Glad you guys are back
today, man. Yeah.
Glad you guys are back.
I'm sorry about what you had to go through, man.
No, I had a great time. ACC meetings, Joe Zagacki for a couple days, Alex Donald before he went to Japan. K-Rodge was here.
We better get out of here. You're cutting in the Big O Show. Have a great day, everybody.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.